This is Primary Purpose, Big Book Study Groups, Thursday night, Alcoholics and God Speaker Series. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Scott. How are you? We have a joke. Ryan?
Hey, I'm Ryan. I'm a recovered alcoholic. All right, so stop me if you heard it. Did you hear about the weasel that walked into the bar? Bartender was like, oh my God, I've never served a weasel before. What can I get for you? Pop goes the weasel.
Okay, in a few minutes we're going to do our meditation, but I'd like to ask you right now if you could please check to make sure any device that makes noise is either turned off, is on airplane mode, on vibrate, so it doesn't disturb your neighbor. Also, if you would please relax in your seat, get comfortable.
Thank you.
fog-like prayer using the word us. God, let love shine through us like a fog light. Those that are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through us. There is a solution. From the big book, page 17, the tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is a great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked MK to come up tonight and read the spiritual experience. This runs to the heart of what AA is all about. Without one, you're going to be lost. For those following at home, page 567 on your big book and page 183 on the abridged.
Hi, I'm MK and I'm an alcoholic. Spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change significant to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Through it was not our intention to create such an impression. Many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life. That such change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most empathetical, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. But these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is concept prior to the investigation.
Thank you. So tonight is the 10th series from Marion, and I can tell you this is the part I think is where it really gets good. You've cleared away the wreckage of your life. You've turned your will and your life over to your higher power. You're in the middle of a spiritual awakening, and you have all this power that's starting to come alive, and you're like, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this new life? Tonight, Marion's going to let us know about that. Marion?
You're welcome. Good. Hi, everyone. I'm Marion. I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hi.
Good to be here and good to be sober. I know we have a few visitors. I met a woman from Michigan out in the parking lot having a cigarette. So always welcome. It's beautiful. And I want to welcome anyone who's new to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. My sober date is November 11th, 1989. I have a sponsor. This is my home group, and life is good. And so much of that can just be our having a new pair of glasses and perspective, you know. The problems I have today, I had a lot of problems today. A lot of problems showing up, and it's so beautiful to have the luxury problems I have today, you know, that it's no longer about trying to find a good hangover helper at the vitamin store, which I used to take, trying to find something to help me sleep at night and knocking on my sister's door, and you know, not having those problems and having just, you know, it's like being able, the things I get to do today, the things I get to experience today, the life that I get to experience today, a phone that rings off the hook and, you know, things like that. And it's just beautiful. It's like with, you know, Chuck Chamberlain talks about a new pair of glasses, and I feel like Alcoholics Anonymous and life is in experiencing what it's like to live this program of action. Live the program of action. Our recovery is a program of action and always moving and keeping our feet moving and always working with another and answering the phone and continue times through the steps and seeking this God of my understanding, you know, moving, action. And it's in those stagnant waters when I can rest on my laurels, as our book talks about, that takes me right to step 10. You know, this is, you know, people can talk about their wheelhouse, but I can tell you that with all the steps, I thank God. Well, I thank God for absolutely every step, but I really super thank God for step 10. You know, that I can continue to take personal inventory and when I'm wrong, promptly admitted it. You know, the seeking this God with the desperation of a drowning woman, you know, that to me, to drink is to certainly die. And that I must remain in the sunlight of the Spirit. And I can get off track and I can get all wonky for a day or a minute or whatever. But the deal is as soon as I get back on. And when it talks about, it's interesting to me, what really pops out to me tonight, I was praying this afternoon, I got a little hour downtime with God, and not that I don't talk to him all throughout the day, whatever. But, you know, when we do step 5, it says, you know, or step 4, it says we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And when we went in there and we looked at some of the way that we were affected by life and we were clean in house. Now it's telling us to continue to take personal inventory. Personal. And it's somehow not saying to continue to take other people's inventory. That's where I get tripped up. That's where I get in trouble. You know, playing God, being the actor who wants to direct the show, you know, being full of fear and the reaction I have to life out of fear, or the reaction I have to life out of resentment, or the reaction I have to life out of pride, or the reaction I have to life out of ego, or any of those things. Any of those things. And, you know, middle of the road solution, you know, I mean, It's a beautiful thing to be clean and sober in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. But I'm telling you, when I continue to take personal inventory, which I have no idea how to do that without God. I have no idea how to continue to take personal inventory without God. And I have no idea how to take personal inventory without a sponsor. Or sometimes when it's not her, it's one of the immediately's I have in my life. You know, I have a friend named Art Jacob, and he says, But, you know, Art talks about, I can't see my own ears. You know, I can only see life through my eyes. I can only see life through my perspective, you know. And when I continue to take personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. When I'm wrong, if there's anything that our pride doesn't want, and then there's one thing our ego doesn't want, and there's one thing that our self-righteousness doesn't want, is to say to somebody else, I was wrong. Were you guys ever good at that? I mean, I wasn't. I mean, am I alone at this? You know, when I'm wrong. And what I've found about being wrong and admitting to someone when I'm wrong and promptly admitting it, it's a real sweet taste of humility. It's a real sweet taste of humility. And that real sweet taste of humility is exactly what the 12 steps is driving us to the whole time. And the beautiful thing is, you know, I'm not... You know, some people go through the steps once a year. I've been through them many times, countless times. But, you know, there's things that hang me up. There's things that trip me up in the day. There's things that you know, when I can look at stuff. And I'm telling you, early on in sobriety in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I walked in here, and you guys said the things out loud that I kept inside of me. And you said, I'm prideful, I'm fearful, I'm egotistical, I'm a piece of crap, or I'm the greatest thing since, you know, whatever it was. And you were saying that stuff out loud. And I was like, I just thought I needed to be in a loony bin, you know, literally, when I first came to AA. I'm like, every AA meeting I'd go to, this guy named Hank would be outside, and he was one of my shoulder to shoulders for years in the Northwest group of AA. And I thought I was just like, I'm having feelings, you know, and I don't know how to deal with them or whatever. People like he could just go right on in, honey, go right on in. And every single time there would be, you know, God would show up in that moment. So it would be just the topic I needed. There would be just the words I needed to hear. There would be just exactly what this alcoholic needed. And so what I'm saying by that is that this process of the 12 steps and living a life of admitting when I'm wrong keeps me clean, man. It keeps me clean. And I fall short of that a lot, you know. There's things that can slip by me or whatever, but I'm telling you, I'm the kind of alcoholic that when I got home in the rooms of the beautiful, amazing rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I found out you were just like me, you felt like me, you acted like me, you talk like me, you walk like me, you did all this stuff just like me, and I found home here, man. I found home. And that is something I never, ever, ever will take lightly. This is my home. Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. And you gave my children their mother back. And you gave my mother and father their daughter back. And you gave my grandchildren a sober grandma that's never had to see her take a drink. You guys gave me that. And there's times that can come out of the mouth of someone with 30 days or, you know, dude, you know, us old timers, sometimes we sit in the back of the room and we'll hear a newcomer talk and we're like, holy crap, they should sponsor me. You know, I mean, sometimes just because it always, you know, I've talked about this before, the circle stays the same. We go round and round and round around the same simple things. And thank God that that this design for living in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is the same like God yesterday, today, and forever. yesterday, today, and forever. This is the same. This is my program for living. This is my design for living. This is me. And when you can find yourself in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and you're an alcoholic like me, welcome home. And I don't ever, 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 ever want to take that lightly. And, okay, hi. So what I was really saying along that lines is that being able to look myself in the eye has been vital in my recovery. Living a life that demands rigorous honesty. Being able to look Marion in the eye and not hate Marion anymore. And the Rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous has a design for living that allows me to do that today. That allows me to not be better than anybody in this room. That allows me to not be any less than anybody in this room. That's a pretty cool tribe to me. You know, a program that, you know, there's one ultimate authority, a loving God, as we may express himself in our group conscience. You know, how cool is that? Just a bunch of drunks. And I love that. So I get to keep clean and I get to take my inventory at night and I get to share that with my sponsor. Do I do it every single night? Absolutely. Do I do an inventory every night? Absolutely. Do I share it with my sponsor every time? Yeah, when there's things that trip me up, absolutely, 100%. So we came to the end. And last week I was thinking, man, whoa, you know, 8 and 9 were so heavy on my heart last week, so heavy on my heart of the damage that we do to people, you know, when we came out of that. And I know I talked a lot about last week about, you know, how we can help people. We can amend their life. We can make amends. You know, how we can help them become whole. You know, and also oftentimes the deal is when I inventory and I go to right or wrong, this is what Marion does. I can immediately take out the bat and go boom, boom, boom. You know, drift into the morbid reflection, drift into that place of how did I screw up? How did I do that? I did that again. Did I? Oh, and it's usually the mouth. You know, the Bible says it's the tongue is sharper than a double-edged sword. You know, I had a sponsor that told me, hey, Marion, you might want to watch that. There's a reason God put your tongue behind teeth. And that wasn't enough, so he put it behind lips. You know, my sponsor says, practicing restraint of pen and tongue. And in today's day, you know, it's not even restraint of pen and tongue. It's restraint of pen and thumb. Oops, shoot that text. Oh my God. You know, you know, things like that. Restraint, breathe, pause when agitated or doubtful. Pause. So I was thinking about that. I'm going to just wrap up a little amends thing too, is this is a cool thing. I listened to this guy, Ben, up in Deerfield Beach on 15-minute talk. It was anniversary night. But man, that guy, I mean, 50-some years of sobriety, and it was 15 minutes of gold. Gold. And one of the things he talked about, and I think this is something, I mean, this hit my heart. This hit my heart. People that have wronged us. And one of the things he has said about it, which was so, so cool, is the great need for forgiveness. The great need that we need as alcoholics for forgiveness. Does anybody in this room need forgiveness? Right? But God says, like, the same level that I can forgive someone is this, that I get forgiveness is the same level I'm able to forgive. And what he was talking about, and I'm probably going to botch this a little bit, but it was freaking beautiful. Letting people off the hook and praying on our knees to not need an amends from anybody else. To not need the forgiveness from somebody else. That's fire, man. That's fire. Because how many of us have a list or something in our life where, well, that person sure did me wrong. They sure owe me. And things are going to be okay once I get that amends from them. Right? But what does that feel like inside? You know, you see the person, you look around the room, you're out there, and it's like, there's that SO something that done me wrong, right? And what I found is, like, in this place of God consciousness, I can't afford to hang on. Nobody owes me nothing. I can say that out loud. This was a cool thing for me. I mean, probably somebody in this room has been practicing that forever, but this was a new one to me. This was a new one to me. That nobody owes me nothing. God, help me on bended knee to grant forgiveness the same level that you've given it to me. So this thought brings us to step 10. And this is going to be as we're making amends. You know, I have a girl from an amends from high school, and I can't find her. I have done absolutely everything except for hire a private detective. Everything but that. Swear to God, I'm still trying to find her. I yelled at her at a party, and I was drunk on my butt, and I can't find her. And I'm not going to say her name this time, but I'm telling you, I'm willing and I'm ready. So this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We rigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter, Polly says down there. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for, these are our watchwords, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately. This is where immediately's come, guys. This is where, you know, hey, can I bounce some inventory off of you? Can you have an objective view for me? Can you help me see my ears because I can't see them? You know, I can look at the wrong somebody else did me, but what did I do wrong? When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly. If we have harmed anyone, we make amends. Ben had a whole cool thing about the difference between the word amend and amends, too. Look it up in your dictionary. I'm going to sound like a librarian if I would have brought that tonight, but look it up. I mean, apparently there's a big difference. One is like a Band-Aid, and the other one's like, oh, the scar is gone. I mean, it's really cool. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And there was a young man named Jared a few weeks ago here at Alcoholics and God on Monday night. And it was really beautiful. He was talking about these 10-step promises, and when Jared was sharing, Jared said, I have to have these promises. I have to have these promises. I have to not any longer be fighting alcohol. You know, There's other fellowships where they can talk about, oh, I was thinking about the dope man today or whatever, you know, or things like that. I don't have 29 years of sobriety and I'm thinking about drinking. You know, I'm not thinking about drinking. And that doesn't mean that one time, one place, I'm sitting at a restaurant and somebody's drinking a fine glass of wine and a beautiful dress, that I don't look over there and go, wow, that looks lovely. But then I can quickly go to, I used to say this, that, you know, there was the black velvet lady on the big billboard, and she, you know, she's laying across a piano and having a nice little glass of black velvet. Last time I had a black velvet dress on, it was slit up the back because I fell down the stairs and, you know, and my hair was sideways. You know, that's what I look like when I take black velvet. It is definitely not on a billboard. You know, it's not fancy stuff. It's nasty. And then, of course, I got to keep going, and I need something to keep me awake, and then God knows whatever happens from there. So you guys know what I'm talking about. And this is a line that, I mean, this line is so freaking beautiful. When we take our alcoholic tendencies, when we're, you know, when we're the actor directing the show, when we're full of fear and when we're in those places, and it says we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. Man, you guys, the claws. I mean, we leave claw marks on everything and everyone. You know, just to have it my way. But the release, man, we cease fighting. We cease fighting. You know, I've had harms done to me in my sobriety and, you know, in life, and we all have. And what I know about God is when I can let go, when the claw marks, when I hit that wall or whatever, and I can let go of any given situation like that, I have a God that loves me mercifully, fully mercifully, right? Does that make sense? You know, and that's God's job in my life. That's God's job in my life. And my job is to go right back down on my knees and to pray for that person. Practicing the sick man's prayer. Practicing the freedom from bondage prayer. Practicing that stuff. So the feeling of we cease fighting life. Cease fighting. It's not my fight. And who am I? How egotistical and prideful is it for me to think I know better than anybody else anyway? It's like, whoa. You know, I have a young man I work with that, you know, has some esteem problems. Perhaps. You know, perhaps. And when where we can go that we, you know, that I think I'm a piece of crap. Well, I'm thinking I know better than God. And when I think I'm better than anybody else, then I think I know better than God. Either way. So we cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. Whoa. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We'll seldom be interested in liquor if tempted. We recoil from it as if from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. Okay, sanity has returned. What? And we will find that this has happened automatically. These are our promises of step 10. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given to us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. Oh, can't go there. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. You know, that's something to ponder with a little bit of time or any time. Like how miraculous that is. You know, this beautiful gift that we've been given. I've had those moments driving down the road where it's like, oh my God, how come I get this and someone else and another person doesn't? How come? You know, and that it's just one 7-Eleven store away. safe and protected. What? It's amazing. I have this new bumper sticker I bought this weekend. It says Protected by Smith & Wilson. This is my bookmark tonight. Where was I at? We've not even sworn off. Instead, the problem's been removed. It doesn't exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. That's our experience. That's the how. This is how we react as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. So clearly, for me, when I'm in this step, when I continue, you know, new women I work with, I'll take them right here. You know, new women I work with, it's bookending your day. It's starting our day in page 86, 87, and 88. It's starting our day on awakening. And it's ending our evening with our nightly review. I'm going to read our nightly review. Where am I at? Oh my God, Becky again. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful? Were we selfish? Were we dishonest or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should have been discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving towards all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Of what we could pack, of what we could pack into the stream of life? This, thank God for this. Because this is me. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. For that would diminish our usefulness to others. So guess what I'm doing? What am I doing, guys? If I'm drifting into worry, if I'm drifting into remorse, or if I'm drifting into morbid reflection, who am I thinking about? Because if I can right a wrong to make you okay, what can I do to make you okay with the way I wronged you? Not... how does Marian relieve her conscience now? So she can pat herself on the back and tell her what a great AA she is because she just made a little amends. Aren't I okay? Guys, it really still goes back to that stuff. And it doesn't make us bad and it doesn't make us awful. But a selfish and self-centeredness is the root of our disease, is what we're driven by. Then we're going to screw some things up along the way, right? We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. You know, these are some of the things that happen, right? But when we get to this step, we've entered the world of the spirit. We're going to continue to right our wrongs as we go. Ultimately, to make things right with people in the world, to make things right in here, and most importantly, to make things right with God. Because when I ain't got him, I ain't got nothing. I don't. And kind of, like I'm reading this really cool book and it talks about the consciousness of God's presence. And as we awaken, like as we work these steps and as we become awakened human beings, awakened to this voice that's down inside of all of us, guys. We've all got it. If you got a day back, you got something. Something in there's got you sitting in this room right now, got every single one of us. This thing in here, the gut, the thing, is the thing that tells us, okay, screwed up, sorry. No, you know what I mean? But that consciousness is awakened. I mean, my first time was a ridiculous thing. I had to call my brand new sponsor. I went to McDonald's. I got $10 too much at the drive-thru. And I know that's like cash register honesty, but it was honesty for the first time. You know, I'm like driving away. I'm like, McDonald's gave me $10. They're not going to miss their $10. And something made me turn around and go back and give it to them. And I literally had to call my sponsor and say, just listen to what happened. I can't believe it. I went back with the $10. It's just McDonald's. He's like, oh, do you want us to throw a parade for you? You know? And but the deal is, the more, you know, and that's all of us. We can be in the rooms 25 years. We can be in the rooms 25 minutes. And we can be dead to this thing. We can be covering it up with gambling and sex and food and working out at the gym and on and on and on and on and on. Cigarettes, you know, whatever it is. You know, my heart hurts, so I'm going to smoke 40 cigarettes. Good one, you know, whatever. And those are... And, you know, and that stuff's all tied to bedevilments. That stuff's all tied to, but it's like, how freaking free do you want to be? How free do I want to be? And I've tasted freedom. I've felt freedom. I know what freedom feels like, guys. And it's really, really cool. And we've felt that, right? And the deal is, you know, I don't think that this is exclusive to alcoholics, okay? I'm going to put the world on the radar, okay, just for a second. You know, in order to get, see, okay, so here's an opinion. This is just an opinion. Okay, so in order to tap into consciousness, which consciousness really truly is love, It's the three things I'm called to do more than anything that I know for sure is to love God with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love my neighbor as I love myself. And the same love I'm going to show to you is the same love I gotta give to me too. So if I'm in that place where I've done something wrong and I'm drifting into worry, remorse, and reflection, here's the deal. We have a design for living, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, a design, a plan to get us and keep us, step 10, keeps us there, keeps us in this place of consciousness, this alive consciousness, this love for people. You know, sometimes I wake up and I'm on fire and it's God and I just want to pinch all your cheeks, you know, I'm loving life, you know. And sometimes when I'm not tapped into that power and I'm not tapped into that consciousness and I'm got yesterday's stuff, you know, I don't know where it says it in the book, Paul, you could probably find it, but you know, that place where, you know, I got yesterday's crap on me and I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it again and I'm going to pray, try to pray it away and, or things like that. But literally it's about love. You know, it's about love and passing on that love to someone else. So love the unlovable. You know, love and tolerance is our code. What's a code? You know, crack the safe. How are you going to get that sucker open? With love and tolerance. And that's the things that people, my old timers and those precious old timers in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, when they just loved me and they tolerated me and I'd sit down and whine in an open share meeting about making dinner, you know, or whatever it was. And I was just couldn't make dinner sober, you know, or whatever, you know, that would just love me and tolerate me. And sometimes we can get, love and tolerance looks like this. It can look like, for someone who's been around like me, where I can expect you to be on the same conscious level as me. That doesn't mean any better. I've been on the road a lot longer, but that doesn't mean, you know, that I can sponsor a girl with 2 years and it's like, why she got actions like that? You know, that's crap. I'm her sponsor. She should be doing better than that. You know, that's baloney. You know, that's baloney to expect that. And there's also some people that can be 30 days in here, or which we experience a whole lot in here, is some of these young kids that are freaking 2 years, 3 years on fire. On fire for the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I used to have a preacher that used to talk to us about, you know, our, as an old timer in AA, my ceiling should be your floor. You know, I didn't get at, when I came in the rooms at 30 years old, I didn't get, you know, speaker meetings and 12-step series, and you know, I had a, you know, we did, God was there, and you know, we did 1-2-3, 1-2-3 dance, and you know, we helped newcomers as best we could, and you know, big book studies were on Wednesday night, and it was ragamuffin crazy, and you know, 12-12 studies on Monday night, and you know, and we had what we had. And so, you know, the greatest thing we can do as old timers is to pass on what's been freely given to us with not watered down with the facts in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, backed by our experience. Something that, you know, Mark Houston talks about is, you know, being able to have that identification with somebody else, another drunk, and that's something that you can pass on. Something that you can pass on. You know, how free do we want to be? You know, how free do we want to be? You know, there's nothing better than continuing to take personal inventory and passing that stuff on to another drunk. Because guess what? If I'm not practicing that stuff in my life, I can't transmit something I haven't got. I can't. We can't. But what I can tell you is, oh gosh, I was going on this whole thing about the world. Did I say that? that we have this design for living, and we have 12 steps that bring us back to consciousness, that bring us back to God, that bring us back to love. And not everybody in the world has that like we're able to have it. You know, but maybe for them it's just another Buddhist meditation, and maybe for them it's going to temple, and maybe for them it's the great outdoors or sitting on the floor in a meditative position or whatever that is. You know, so I'm glad today that there's a way out. I'm glad today there's the ability to say and be able to suck it up and say when I'm wrong. So my new girls, they'll start their day on awakening with 86, 87, 88. And I'm not going to read all that today because that's the awakening. But and bookend their night right away before even going through the steps. Before even going through the steps, we're going to do nightly review. And we're going to get used to taking a first person inventory. Because what I've learned in all this time is I can't change you. God can change you. I know that I can't get you drunk, and I know that I can't get you sober. But God could and would if you were sought, right? So I'm grateful to be here tonight. It's really cool. Last weekend, I was at this big book workshop, and I forgot my big book. And that was not very smart. But what it did was, it was really, really cool. Because on Friday night, I was like, oh my God, Pete speaks. Didn't have my big book. I went, I bought a new one. And I really spent a beautiful weekend with the set-aside prayer, the lay-aside prayer. And just, God, just help me to just lay aside everything I think I know. Because this is what it's going to be about for me over and over again. It's still going to be this simple design for living. It's still going to be that circle that keeps me safe and protected with the three sides of the triangle, the unity, the service, and the recovery. So I hope I represented God good tonight. That's always going to be my goal. So love you guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Marion. If you're wondering what a spiritual awakening looks like, it's having the power to share your personal life to help others. Please join me in thanking Marion one more time. Okay, now I get my cohort up here. Mark is going to give us a treasurer report, secretary's report.
Good evening. My name is Mark. I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. Keeping with the Southern tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going to go around. So while they're doing that, I've asked Jared to come up here and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
Jared, recovered alcoholic.
Hey, Jared.
And we are not cured of alcoholism, recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you, Jared. 1940-style big book sponsorship from the foreword of the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% of them got sober and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, came to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above show a 75% success rate. Can I please see a show of hands of recovered alcoholics? Is anyone in need of a sponsor tonight? Would you guys stand up for us, please? One, two, three, four. So you recovered alcoholics with your hands raised, please get with these folks after the meeting and get them back to God. Okay, moving on. A couple quick announcements, if we have them. There we go. Broward County Intergroup, it's your place for all your AA supplies, big books, medallions, other types of literature. They're open 9 a.m. If anyone is interested in doing some volunteer opportunities, we have more information on that back red table. Service keeps us sober. Broward County Institutions Committee, they hold meetings once a month. That's for the folks that can't get to outside meetings like this. We bring them to them. They meet on March 9th, so that's another 10 days, if anyone is interested in doing that. Then we have the Spring Fling, which is this Saturday. It's a chili cook-off. Bring your best recipe. And June 21st and 22nd in this room, in this building, First Presbyterian Church, we're going to have Fellowship of the Spirit, South Florida 2019. It's a AA Al-Anon dual event. We have Mickey and Marie, his wife Marie, flying in from Colorado. We did it here last year. It's a great event. We hope you all come out. Please join us Monday nights, the Big Book Study Meeting. It's on the third floor of this building where the Big Book comes alive. Fellowship starts at 6:30. Our Big Book group starts at 7:15. Also, if anyone's interested, we have CDs, mugs, large print big books, little red books, big book dictionaries for sale on that back table where Ryan is standing. We meet here every Thursday, starting promptly at 7:15 when the bell rings, when the Road to Recovery tune comes on. We ask that you be courteous and ready to begin. See you next week. One last smoking announcement. If you're going to smoke or vape, just please be courteous. We have a lot of Boy Scouts here tonight. Do it over in that back corner, and please use the receptacles. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, all of these sessions and our speaker tonight are broadcast on a podcast online for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. I'd like to invite everyone to the Big Book Study Group on Monday nights at 7:15 in this building. It's up on the third floor. Thanks again for MK, Ryan, Jared, and Mark, and of course Marion for speaking tonight. We're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. Who woke us up this morning? Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
Heart is heavy, shoulders thirsty, body's aching. I am desperately in need of restoration. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all. And I am willing to hand over every one of them. 'Cause they won't profit me anything. Can't get it right.
sands, and oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby. Yes, when you're laughing, when you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Fog is lifted. See the light, count my blessings when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Fear has left me and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time, sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white light to set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, and I'm out to dry. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's on my side. For the first time in my life, are green now, growing vines. They twist and turn each way, flowers blooming all the time outside my door. But never before I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. Broken man, I travel far and wide through the great divide, through his own heart, yeah. Well, I have a life today when it give away and it's just about to smile. Show up and plug in my guitar, and I play my songs, and people sing along, and stomp their feet and raise their arms. And here in this moment that we share, nothing could come in. Lessons when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Yeah, I dream now, and everything's all right. Oh, man. Going on 10 years old, that song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.